This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey, everybody. Dre Redfern here.
And Alexis Neely.
And welcome back to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, where this week we're going to cover stress, how to reduce it, eliminate it, mitigate it, and overall, maybe some ways that you can alleviate some of the stress in your life, because we know that attorneys as a profession are some of the most stressed out people out there. And Allie has stress, I have stress, we all have stress. We want to share some maybe tactical things that you can do to potentially alleviate some of the stress that you may be experiencing in your life and in your practice in this week's episode.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I want to share is that my experience of life is that stress doesn't go away. What happens is I get better at dealing with stress. I learn strategies for dealing with it. I learn how to take care of myself, how to use self-care in a way that allows me to have more capacity to handle more of the stressors that come up. And then what shifts is that when things come up that in the past would have stressed me out to no end, I actually find, wow, there's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot going on in my business, but I'm handling it all with far more ease than I was in the past. And I wonder, Dre, if you find the same thing.
I find that 100%. In fact, for me, one of the things in relation to stress is perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, stress is only as stressful as you think it is. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's not actually worse than it really is. Obviously, there's circumstances where that may not be true, but for the most part, it's usually not as bad as you think it is. The world is not going to burn down. Everyone will not die. Life will still go on and things will be okay. Mm-hmm. That being said, with a little bit of perspective, I find perspective usually comes for me with environmental changes. So if I'm in my office and I'm like head down going all the time, my perspective isn't really going to change because like things are always going to be coming up and emails are always going to be flying in and I've got to be juggling all of the things that I juggle and it just makes it difficult.
I'd love to just dive into a little bit of your personal situation. I'll share mine too, Dre. You personally have been stressed.
Yes.
What has that, like, what were the circumstances that led to you saying to yourself, I'm stressed and I need to do something about it?
Yeah. So for me, it was, you know, I find myself in these sprints occasionally where it's just like an all out sprint. And coming from like, you know, elite athletic background, I don't mind it to a certain degree. But for me, I found myself at the start of May just drowning in opportunity. And that sounds like those are like Cadillac problems, right? Like, oh, you're drowning in opportunity, you poor guy. But no, like it's stressful because for me, like we've got a baby on the way and I'm trying to, you know, build a separate business and trying to do all of these things in order to create more opportunities, provide for my family, get other businesses off the ground, juggle staff and employees and salespeople and all of these other things. It's stressful, especially when for me, like I've got this pressure of like life is going to change again here soon with a new little mouth to feed in a matter of like 3 months. So for me, like the idea of drowning in this opportunity, I literally just this last weekend had to take a step back. So we've had literally 200 plus people who want to work with us in a high level program that we have. And it was one of those things where I've got so many leads, I can't process them. So I have to rely on external people even more than I was comfortable. And we got them up and running off the ground as fast as possible. And I knew that there was probably a reprieve there that if I were to take it, I could actually utilize it and recover. And so I did. So I took my wife to Phoenix or Scottsdale for 4 days, just as a mini little getaway. Because I recognized in my own life and in my own environment, I found myself working 60 and then 70 and then 80 hours a week, trying to capitalize on all of these opportunities and live the entrepreneur life and, you know, work 80 hours a week so I didn't have to work 40 hours a week working for someone else. Mm-hmm. All of the traps that we find ourselves into, you don't really realize, at least for me personally, I didn't realize how stressed out I was until I actually did go away and did unplug. And, you know, we try to make it these things quarterly events for my wife and I, largely just because you get so in the rhythm and so in the momentum, I guess, of working 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week sometimes that becomes life and that becomes the normal. And that's not always a great thing. And so just an environment change can often give some really good perspective. And so coming off of a really stressful month for me, taking that reprieve puts things back in perspective. Here's the reality, Allie, is like life wasn't going to burn down. We weren't going to go broke or belly up. The company was still going to keep going. People kept moving forward, even without me, you know, there to answer questions. Like life went on, even though in my back of my mind, I thought that like, you know, it's not going to go on. I'm the only person who can do these things. And all of these, you know, false stories that we tell ourselves, they weren't necessarily the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is what happens is we get into this cycle of work, 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 work. We hopefully realize soon enough how stressed we are and we can break the pattern. Because if we don't break the pattern, what can happen is it becomes even more deeply ingrained. And, you know, there's a way that our society really rewards workaholism. And I think that what you're describing, though you broke the pattern of it, what you are describing is how many people end up falling into the trap of workaholism. Because in many ways, it's easier to our psyche to keep doing that thing that is creating so much stress because we think that we have to, that we just stay in the pattern. It's actually an addiction.
It's actually, I'm so glad you used that word. Workaholism is actually the only like socially acceptable addiction. That's alcoholism, right. We know, we've talked about it before on the podcast with attorneys and that, you know, 1 in 3 attorneys are classified as alcoholics. Other addictions could be smoking. It could be, and if you think of an addiction, you know, it's out there, but workaholism is the socially acceptable addiction to talk about because, you know, and with attorneys, it's really funny because it's not like, you know, well, I worked 30 hours this week. People aren't patting you on the back for working less. It's like, it's a bragging chip. Like I put in 80 hours last week. It's, you know, give me a high five sort of thing. That's the general stigma or like the general sort of demeanor in the legal profession. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just having a little bit of that like state change or at least realizing that that may not be the ideal path, I suppose.
Yeah. And so in order to do that, first of all, I think we have to recognize that we are using work to attempt to make ourselves feel better. But in fact, it's making us feel worse. I think that that is one of the signs of addiction. And, you know, I don't see addiction as anything to hide or feel shameful about. Every single person has an addiction to something. I think it's part of being human. And I think that part of it is being able to acknowledge it so that we can see exactly what's happening and just make conscious choices around it. And so for me, workaholism has always been a major source of addiction for me. It's also provided a lot of great rewards, which has been, you know, made it more difficult to break it. And when we have that addiction, our mind tells us that we really want to be doing the thing we're doing. But then if we really look at the truth, we could see that that thing that we're doing, whether it is drinking or food or exercise or smoking or any of the things, we can see that the thing that we're doing is actually hurting us and the people around us. And when we allow our work to create so much stress in us that it begins to hurt us and those around us, there's an opportunity to see it and change it. Now, back when I think I first started to become aware of this in myself, I was an associate at a big law firm. And I was probably 28, 29 years old. I didn't know anything about anything when it came to really knowing myself. And I had first started working with a coach. And the first thing that this coach did was she asked me, Alexis, when is the last time that you got a pedicure? When is the last time you got your hair done? When is the last time you went to the dentist? When is the last time you exercised? And I was so pissed because I was not paying her to talk to me about my hygiene practices. By the way, none of which I had done. I'd never had a massage. I'd never had a pedicure at that point, I think, other than my wedding day. I hadn't had my hair cut in forever. I certainly was not exercising, was not going to the dentist. In fact, in my mind was telling me I didn't have the money for any of that because I was a mom and I was taking care of the household and, you know, I was the breadwinner. So I certainly didn't have the money for it. Couldn't spend the money on myself. And I definitely didn't have the time because if I was not working, then I needed to be at home with the baby because I was working all day long. And so I was so angry when she asked me about this. But what she said to me is, you're never going to be happy in your life or in your career. And I'd hired her to help me be happy in my career if you are not engaging in self-care. And I didn't even know what self-care was. My mom didn't set any, you know, like role model. She wasn't a role model for me in self-care. Nobody ever taught me how to engage in self-care. And so this coach was really the first person who introduced that idea to me. And I did follow her instructions and I did go to the dentist and I did get my hair cut and I did start exercising regularly. And my life began to change. None of the stressors changed. Nothing external changed. I didn't make more money. I didn't, you know, have more time. I made more time. I didn't, you know, have different expenses. Like nothing outside of me changed, but what happened is inside of me changed. And all of a sudden I began to be able to handle everything so much better. And a clarity of mind came that allowed me to start making different decisions. And I ultimately made the decision to leave the big law firm and start my own law firm as a result, which I never would have been able to see my way towards if I would have stayed buried under the weight of my stress in its form of, you know, happening to me instead of all these things that were happening for me. So I feel curious, Dre, what happened when you went away for the weekend?
Yeah, nothing. And it was great. I mean, so like for me, like we just decompressed and we went to, you know, Sedona and we just like hung out and just toured around and just, you know, lounged by the pool and did nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my team. I didn't have instructions for them to like not contact me. They could have if they wanted to, but they also knew enough about me that I needed the break. And so like nothing happened. Like we closed sales, even though I wasn't around. Life moved forward, even, you know, though I was away. And, you know, we have this, like I said a second ago, like we think that we have to do everything and be everything to everyone. And that's just not the reality. And so I think you hit the nail on the head with that, you know, that, Allie. And I think for me personally, I find my life, and I'm sure many attorneys are the same way, in sprints. It's a massive project that you're working on or something's coming up and you just got to put in a lot of work to get to that. There's a finish line, or at least a relatively clear finish line. And then you can take a break or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, what I find to work often, what, you know, at least for me, is managing stress in the middle of it. So even if you're in a massive project, things are going on and there's that finite deadline, doing meditation daily. I use the Muse headband like as a regular practice to track my meditation to see where I'm at. And it gives me sort of a record and basically scores my meditation. I do that all the time. I also, in the middle of it, even if it's difficult and I have to take a massage at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock and get like the last spot in some of these spas for the evening, like decompress a little bit there, because I know that if I do some of those things, I can go harder for longer during these sprints, and maybe 30 to 45 minutes in a float pod. That's another thing that I absolutely love. And if you don't know what a float pod is, it's basically, it's also referred to as a sensory deprivation tank, which sounds like a torture device. It's so awful. But it's basically like a tank that's filled with a whole bunch of salt water, like heavy, like a lot of salt. And you go into it and you essentially just float in this tank. And you say, so you're not touching anything. You're just floating. And they shut this lid down and it's like completely dark, completely silent. And you're basically just depriving your senses, your sight, your sound, like all of these things to basically just really decompress. And it's a wonderful form of meditation to really, you know, decompress some. So I think that if you got a big project going on, you know, there's a definite, you know, finish line or something along those lines, you can use some of these things to manage your stress. Now, I'm definitely not a proponent of working 80 hours a week perpetually. That's not like, it's not sustainable. It's not survivable. Like something is going to break and hopefully it's not you. But if there are clear finish lines, you can use some of those things to definitely rein in some of that stress that you may be experiencing along the way.
Yeah. One of the things that I often do to help me when I'm in the midst of one of those sprints is represents the clarity of what is it going to be like when we're there? What is it going to be like when we're there? Because usually if I'm in that kind of a sprint, it's because I am working towards something that is going to free me up. Like, for example, we just completed a new website and that was a huge process for us. And it wasn't just physically taxing. It was actually really emotionally taxing for me because I had to let go of so much of the old in order to say yes to the new. And there was, you know, years worth of blog posts that, you know, my team wanted to just get rid of. It was very, very challenging for me to let go of that. And one of the things that I kept doing through that process was bringing myself back to what it's going to be like when we're done. Now you can go to newlawbusinessmodel.com and see we're done and it's incredible and we're having great results from it. But I don't know that I would have been able to manage the stress of that if I hadn't been clear on what is it going to look like when it is complete, when we're at the finish line and I can look back and say, wow, we did that. And I didn't know exactly what the website would look like because our website team was doing that. But what is it going to really feel like in my system to have a new website that I'm really proud of, one that really represents the company in a way that's true to who we are today? And so I was able to future pace to that. And then that would be able to allow my system to relax for just being where we are right now and letting that be okay. The other things that really help me are I work out 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week in my room on Zoom, which is the video conferencing service with a trainer. I would not be able to do half of what I'm doing right now without that. It's not a lot of time. It's only 30 minutes, 3 times a week. Anybody can do that. And I can't get out of it. Like I can't like tell myself, oh, I can't get to the gym. It's in my bedroom. I can't tell myself, oh, it's going to be too long. It's only 30 minutes. And that has made a huge, huge, huge difference for me. The other thing I do is a weekly massage. That is absolutely critically important for me. It just, my body just really relaxes. And in my head, what happens is I go from this place of saying, you know, the thoughts that are saying, we can't do this, right? That's what my negative thoughts tend to sound like is we can't do this. We're not going to be able to do it. It's never going to work to, oh yeah, I got this. I could do this. It's all okay. It's okay. I'm okay. We're okay. We're going to get there. And so having those practices just built into your schedule is really, really important. One of the things that I tell our lawyers to do is to schedule vacations at least twice a year for at least 7 days. Go ahead and schedule your December vacation now. Put it on your calendar now. I promise you that if you put your December vacation on your calendar now, the way that you're going to work to get yourself there and to get yourself ready for that is going to surprise you. We've seen it again and again for our lawyers, especially, for example, I mean, you've got a baby coming. We see it with the lawyers who have babies coming. All of a sudden, all their systems get dialed in. Why? Because they have to. They have to. They don't have another choice. And so, Dre, I know that with your baby coming, yes, everything is going to change in the next 3 months for the better. All the systems right now that are driving you crazy, you're all going to get dialed in because they're going to have to. You got a baby on the way.
Well, you know, it's funny. So you say that because you're exactly right. So for me, I recognize for the first month, especially, like I'm going to want to be present. I'm going to want to be around and I may not be my normal self. That may include like sleep deprivation and not actually sleeping for much of those first few weeks. Well, if that's the case, I want to have the systems and more process and things established now and build them in ahead of time so that I have that as my own like almost support system behind me with the systems and the processes and the automations that my team can follow, that I can follow, that I could use to fall back on. And so you're exactly right. So that's created, you know, a forcing function for me. And we've talked about forcing functions before where, you know, if you want an example of a forcing function, if you've missed some of those episodes, is like If you really got to get 3 hours of work done, then you can go to a library and bring your laptop or leave your laptop charger at home, and your laptop battery is only good for maybe 3 hours. It forces you to get on that ball as soon as possible because you don't have time to dilly-dally. Well, for me, I got a baby coming. And a forcing function for us is like, I want to be present. I need to do those things. And there's a definite time when that has to be done by. So I've got to tidy things up and dial things in the business to afford me that ability.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I somewhat like it when lawyers join us and they don't have a lot of financial resources. It can operate as a forcing function where if you don't have a lot of financial resources and you have to succeed, you have to get your own estate plan done, you have to do your two practice plans because you have to be able to get to the money and be charging $3,000-$5,000 per client. Sometimes I actually really like that better than when a client comes in and has plenty of resources because then they can dilly-dally. It's like you've got the luxury of maybe not pushing through the fear, maybe not, you know, choosing to do the thing like get up and give a presentation that you wouldn't otherwise do. So those forcing functions can be really great. I mean, the best of all worlds is that you have plenty of money to invest in your law practice and you choose to make those investments from a place of real desire to create a law practice that has systems in it, and you don't need the threat of, you know, being homeless and running out of money to propel you forward. So, but sometimes we do need that kind of a threat to propel us through our fear. What I like better is for you to create based on desire rather than to have to be pushed by fear. Being pushed by fear is far more stressful than being pulled by the desire. So if you don't want to be pushed by fear into a highly stressful situation where you must do it or die, what I would recommend is that you look 3 months out. This is the time frame that Dre's got because he's got a baby coming. And why don't you put something on your calendar that will force you to, in a great way, to have to get some systems in place in your practice? Put a 2-week vacation on that calendar right now. Book your tickets right now for that vacation. Where are we? We're at the end of May. So book a vacation for the end of August. Plan to take 2 weeks off and then do everything that you would need to do to be able to have that happen. And that is one of the great ways to deal with stress is to get at it proactively and work towards something you're really excited about rather than being forced into a situation where you just have to run away because it got to be too overwhelming.
Yeah. Oh man, there's so many nuggets there that the individuals can use. So, I mean, if someone is finding themselves right now, Allie, and they're working 60 or 80 hours a week, no finish line in place. So there's not like a forcing function of a baby or some project that's going to end. What do you suggest that they do?
I suggest that you take control of your calendar. I suggest that you sit down with your calendar, track your time for the next 3 days, minute by minute. And I don't mean like big picture overview tracking. I mean like minute by minute, granular tracking. Look at where your time is going for the next 3 days. I use a Google Calendar for this that's just for tracking my time to see what's actually going on. Where am I really spending my time? And then what I do is I get really clear on what do I actually need to be doing to have the life that I want? How many clients do I need to be engaging and serving each month to hit my personal, financial, and time goals? And then I map that out on my calendar proactively, including, by the way, mapping out that vacation that you want to take 3 months from now. And then I begin to look at what are all of those things that are on my calendar that I'm doing that are not serving that ultimate goal. And I begin to look at, can I stop doing them altogether? Can I outsource them and I'm only doing them because my workaholism has taken over? Or do I really actually need to do them until I can hire and train someone, in which case I'm going to start looking at who I can hire and train as quickly as possible? Maybe I need the money in order to hire and train someone. Okay, great. How can I find that money as quickly as possible to be able to create those resources to hire and train that person or build a technology or a system that's going to allow me to replace myself doing things manually. One of the great resources we have for you is the Money Map for Lawyers. It's free. It really lays out a system for you to think clearly about these issues so that you're not stuck, have it all stuck up in your head. Right now, everything is stuck up in your head and it creates a mind spin of worry and just a huge drain that's probably waking you up in the middle of the night. Maybe you can't sleep. We want all of that out of your head, tracking the time for 3 days on the calendar so you could see it, and then literally mapping out your personal financial and time goals so that you can allocate that time, including that vacation, consciously and strategically so that you can move towards what you want instead of just habitually working in the way you have been. So that's at moneymapforlawyers.com.
So many good things there. I mean, if it were me, you know, and someone was working 80 hours a week, I would also agree, Ali, get control of that calendar. Life is about sprints, 90-day sprints, 120-day sprints, whatever you got to do to make things work. And growing a business is difficult. It can be, you know, time consuming. All of these things are a natural part of the journey, but the calendar is definitely one of those things that I would recommend is getting in control of. You can go back and listen to one of our early episodes. I think it was episode 4 or 5, all about your calendar. Mm. And it'll give you definitely some new perspectives there. If you're in the sprint, you know that there's that definite, you know, time frame at the end there. You can use ways or find strategies like we've talked about today that can support you and really set you up for success so you can manage that stress easier, whether that's a massage or a float tank or float pod, a meditation, whatever it may be, because there's lots of stuff there out there that could support you. So that is it. That is this week's episode of How You Can Deal With, Manage, and Mitigate Stress. Any closing remarks, Ali, before we see everybody next week?
You owe it to your family. You owe it to yourself to deal with stress in a better way, to expand your capacity to handle more with more ease, and life gets better from there. So I hope we can help you do that, and I'll look forward to seeing you again next week.
We'll see you there.
Hey guys and gals, if you liked this show and you want to help us out so we can keep making more of these episodes for you, please go on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review right now. And to reward you for that, every single month we'll be doing a drawing of 1 5-star reviewer and giving away either our estate planning bootcamp, our business practice bootcamp, or Dre's attorney essentials or legal marketing fundamentals. These programs would be purchased separately for $1,000 to $3,000. Though, of course, they're worth way more to that to your law practice. So go do that now while you remember and get entered. We really appreciate it. And hey, after you do that, head on over to ultimateattorneypodcast.com, where you can check out even more episodes, see what episodes are coming up, submit questions for us to answer on future episodes, and most importantly, get a whole bunch of super valuable law business building resources that we've put together for you to support you to become the ultimate attorney and have a life and law practice you love. We so look forward to seeing you in the next episode of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast.